Hi, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Welcome to episode number 58 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, designed to help smart businesses with an interest in innovation become even more innovative. Now, this is the first episode for 2017, and I hope you had a great festive season and Christmas time for those that celebrate Christmas. We certainly had some downtime over Christmas at the InnovaBuzz Hive and skipped a couple of weeks with the podcast also. Now we're back in full swing and have some exciting guests lined up to interview for 2017. As I said, this is the first episode for 2017. It's today, Friday the 13th of January. Yes, that's right. It's unlucky Friday for those of you that are superstitious. However, in my world, I think it's a lucky Friday with the first podcast of the year and some awesome news and information to share with you. The start of the new year is often a time where people make resolutions or plans or set goals for the forthcoming year. Now, I'm not one for New Year resolutions because I like to set goals all the time. I don't need to link them or restrict them to the 1st of January. On the subject of goal setting, I am really excited this year to be partnering with four other awesome business owners to lead a workshop helping business owners design an awesome year for their business. This event is at the end of May in a wonderful tropical island paradise, so a retreat from the everyday grind of business. There, we'll work with you to really turbocharge your business for the forthcoming 12 months, but more about that later. In episode 50 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, I talked a little about automation and introduced some of the tools that we use in the InnovaBuzz Hive to help us make repeating tasks easier and take up less time. Clearly, that resonated with many of my audience because the feedback was, let's have more of that and go deeper. So today, I'm answering that call. Today's episode will be about some things to automate, and more importantly, it's about an automation framework you should follow in setting up your automated processes. Now, I've also got a bonus for you at the end of the blog post for those ready to jump into automating some simple tasks right now. Before I talk about automation tools, I'd like to point out that there is a fundamental process that we follow here before we automate anything. This is what I call our automation framework. Now, let's say, for example, I wanted to automatically send my blog posts that I've just published to Facebook. So instead of doing that manually, I want to automate that so that it saves me one manual step each time I publish a blog post. I could jump into a variety of tools and begin an automated process because there are a whole range of tools available that tackle this kind of task, and it is a really straightforward task. But it is important to understand first what's the sequence of steps involved in this particular process. So let's unpack that. The very first step is to do the process manually. In other words, in our WordPress to Facebook example, copy the URL of the blog post, then go to my Facebook page and paste the URL there. Then back at the WordPress blog post, copy the page title and the text snippet that I want to have appear in Facebook from that post and paste it back into the Facebook post. Then, of course, I hit the post button or the publish button, whatever it is in Facebook. Now that I have the steps of this process clear and have carried it out manually, I'll know where it needs improvement. So this is a very simple process. It's probably good the way I've described it, but some processes can obviously be streamlined or enhanced, or maybe there's some step that could be added to improve the overall system or measure something for future improvement. Then we document that process, and we make sure that that documented process is actually a true reflection of what we do manually. Sometimes the trap we fall into is we write down what we think it should be, but what we actually do is something different. So we need to make sure that the documented process is actually what we do manually. The best way to test that then is to give the documented process to someone else who has not done this before and ask them to work through the steps. Then see how they go, whether they're able to complete the task, whether something is unclear or whether there's something missing there. Then upgrade or update that documented process. So by doing that, we improve the documented process to the point, and ideally this is where we want to get to, so that it's clear even to a novice user. Remember that when we automate a process, we're asking a computer or a processor, a machine, to carry out the task. Now, machines are stupid. You have to tell them exactly what to do. Now, a novice user isn't quite that stupid, but they don't know how to do the process at this stage. So that's the closest we can get to a dumb machine. Sorry for all the novice users out there. That wasn't meant as any disparaging remark. So in summary, the first step in automation is actually doing the process manually. The second step is documenting that process really clearly. And the third step is improving the process and making it so clear that even a novice user can carry it out successfully and repeatedly. Once we've completed these steps and have a process document in place, then we can see what steps need to happen in automating the process. So we know what we tell the machine now. If you skip the first three steps and jump straight into automation through, you know, one of the tools that are freely available out there, then really it's just another shiny object that you're taking on board, which may or may not give you the benefits that you desire and may in fact be a distraction from improving your systems and processes and being more efficient and giving you back more time. So automating your process is the fourth step of this automation framework. Not the first step, it's the fourth step. The fifth step then, so there's one more, is to document what you've automated. That might sound anal, but I've learned the hard way that keeping a list of the things that you've set up in various automated systems that now run without your involvement is a really important step to help you in the overall objective of making things easier and less time consuming. Because over time, as you build a library of automated processes, you'll need a way to remember what's driving each process, when do they run, and most importantly, how to pause them or turn them off if something should go wrong. I had many things automated before I was documenting what I had set up in automatic mode, and then one day something happened and I wondered what caused that particular task. And I didn't do that. It's happened on its own. But I didn't have it documented in my automated process list, so I had to go track it down. And I found that it was indeed coming from one of my automated processes. Now, on this particular occasion, the automatic action actually resulted in an undesired outcome. And it highlighted to me that it's really important to keep track of your automatic processes you have running and make sure that you can intervene quickly when something like this occurs. So now that I've outlined my automation framework, let's talk about what type of things can be automated. Simple things like reminders from your calendar or to-do list are easy to automate, and usually they're features of whatever software you might be using. For example, if you were using Google Calendar and you set up an appointment in the calendar, there is an option to have reminders sent to you by email or pop up on the screen. Some calendars even allow SMS reminders. Google Calendar used to do that, but they've stopped doing that, unfortunately. Once set up, this is automatic. It's really just an alarm clock, but linked to events on your calendar. Many to-do list applications also allow reminders. For example, Todoist, which is the one that we use, has an option to either send an email reminder or a push notification either to your phone or pop up on your screen at times that you select. And you can have as many reminders as you wish. So these are very simple examples of process automation that are actually built into those particular applications. Another popular and very valuable automation process involves making your email easier to deal with, your email inbox in particular. There are many systems available that allow you to pre-filter emails coming into your inbox into different folders so that you find it easier to manage all of your email. Now, here at InnovaBiz, we use SaneBox, which is a trainable app that learns the more you train it by moving emails into the SaneBox folders. So what it does is it sorts incoming mail into the folders automatically, into folders that you've set up, so that the immediate action emails are the only ones that get to stay in your inbox, and you can work on those. And others are automatically placed in folders, which you look at later on, so that you are not distracted by these emails. Now, project management systems such as Asana or Teamwork have native integrations that you can set up with email so that you are notified of changes in the status of project tasks, for example. These software applications also have other inbuilt integrations such as automated notifications, and they also allow emails to be sent to the project management system, which then automatically assigns them as a task in a project or a comment or whatever you've tagged the email with. So these are automations, again, that you can activate within those particular software tools. Then, of course, there are marketing automation systems such as Infusionsoft or Entreport, Drip or ActiveCampaign that all use fairly sophisticated techniques to automate large parts of your marketing activities. Unless you're already familiar with automation or you're getting a lot of help with this, I'd suggest they're not the place to start your automation journey, but they're certainly very powerful tools. So it's something you need to be looking at some point in time to help you generate more business. Another example are help desk systems. Systems like Zendesk and Freshdesk and others usually have inbuilt integrations with email so that you can get notified of help requests sent through that system. And you can also link them to your project management system so that incoming requests end up in your preferred project management system and people can work on them there, send the responses from the project management system, and they don't have to jump in between the different systems running your processes. And finally, it's worth mentioning the social media integration tools, examples of which are Buffer and Meet Edgar. These allow you to set up posting to multiple social media sites. So with one entry into the application, you can post to Facebook, to LinkedIn, Twitter, your Facebook pages, Google Plus pages, etc. They even allow posting to multiple accounts, so you could send it to a bunch of different Facebook groups, for example. You might need the pro version of the tools to do that, though. There are also options within these applications to automate reposting of your content on a regular basis. So if you think of Twitter, it's very fleeting. A tweet that goes onto Twitter is very fleeting, and depending on the time zone it gets tweeted, it may not be seen by a large chunk of your audience, so it's often useful to tweet that out at different times of the day and perhaps even in slightly different formats. Now, rather than sit in Twitter and do that manually, now there's my cuckoo clock in the background, rather than do that manually, you can set that up within tools like Buffer and Meet Edgar to go on a repeating basis, which is really helpful. It is important to note here on these social media automated posting thing tools, and I think this is really important, is that while the posting can be automated, this isn't a complete substitute for manual posting. Social media is just that, it's social, so you want to be having conversations. Most definitely, the engagement part with your audience on the social media platforms is something that you should not automate. But by automating your content postings, your kind of standard content postings, the time freed up can then be used to focus your time, your physical time, on engagement with your audience. So it's really helpful in that way. On the subject of process documentation, I mentioned in episode 56 the tool Clarify, which allows you to compose a document, embed multiple screenshots right from within the app, mark up the screenshot with text, arrows, signposting, numbering, and a lot more, and then export that document either as a PDF or as a Word file, send it to Evernote, send it to WordPress, or to the web. Now, at the time I said we're going to evaluate Clarify, which we have done extensively in the past few weeks, and we're really impressed, so we've now purchased a number of licenses for our team. I definitely recommend that you give it a try. There is a 14-day free trial available from the Clarify website, which we'll link to in the show notes or the blog post. But I think at $30 one-off purchase price, this is outstanding value in my opinion. So to document processes, you have the Clarify window open, and you can screenshot yourself going through the process, and then within Clarify you can annotate those screenshots, you can type in text explanations, and it formats it all very nicely for you and puts together a document for output to all of those places that I mentioned. So I'll post a simple example process document outlining at a very high level our weekly team review setup in Asana. I'll post that in the show notes for you to take a look at, just to see an example of the output that Clarify produces. So I've outlined our automation framework for you today and also listed some typical tasks that can be automated. I'd love to hear from you what other tasks you are automating or want to automate. I mentioned at the start a bonus that I have for you. If you're listening to this, you'll need to go to the blog post, and at the bottom of the blog post I've listed for you to directly set up a series of Zapier automation templates for simple tasks like automatically posting your blog post to social media. All you need to do is set up a Zapier account if you don't already have one, and you can start with a free account. Then click on these links to use those Zaps. You will need to connect them with your WordPress and your Facebook accounts in order to have them work properly, and they're fully customizable from there. But it's a great way for you to explore the power of Zapier for connecting apps, and I hope this helps get you started. Now, finally for today, I did promise you more information on our awesome goal setting and planning workshop to help business owners design an awesome year for their business. I'm really excited about this. This event is at the end of May. It will be in the wonderful tropical island paradise of Coconut Island off Phuket in Thailand, where in just 5 days you'll build a plan that will turbocharge your business and enable you to confidently predict and then achieve your results for the next 12 months forward from there. Now, the focus will be on results and on making goal setting and planning fun, and how could it not be fun in such a splendid location? The event is called My Best Year Yet, and it is a hands-on program developed and led by four masterful business owners who have the capability, the focus, the power, and the drive to truly succeed. I'm really excited to be working with three other awesome business owners on this project and looking forward to helping transform some businesses in the coming year. Now, if you're interested and want to find out more, please email me directly or via the contact form on the website. That's it for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and find the automation framework valuable. Let me know how you go with the Zapier templates. I'd really be interested. And also with your process documentation, I'd love to hear back what you find particularly useful. All the show notes for this episode will be at innovabiz.com.au/58. That is the numbers 5-8. innovabiz.com.au/58. There you'll find the links and everything that we spoke about in this episode, including the bonus that I mentioned. Now, if you like this podcast and found this information valuable, we'd love for you to leave us a review. Reviews help us get found, so help us help more people. Leave your review on iTunes and then subscribe so you'll never miss a future episode. If you prefer Stitcher or Pocket Casts to listen to your podcast, you can subscribe there too. If there's anything you'd like us to cover or go into more detail on, or questions you want answered on a future InnovaBuzz podcast, please leave a comment in the blog post. And also, we welcome any comments that you have, particularly in answer to the question of what you found particularly useful or how you're applying automation in your business. So until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, if you don't innovate, you stagnate. So think big, be adventurous, and keep innovating.